This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Casting live today from Village Inn on 13th Avenue South in Fargo. It's a talk radio town hall. We'll be here all hour long with the Republican governor candidate Doug Burgum. Questions or comments welcome for Doug on the phones by simply dialing us up at 800-228-0550. You can text us at 701-226-8503. You can email us studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. Or you can just stop by and see us at the Village Inn location. And we have some free pie samples here today because America's best pies at Village Inn. Great spot for all your holiday entertaining. Pick up the pies here and, of course, the best breakfast on earth. I love that VIB, the Village Inn breakfast. You just pick your favorite items and mix and match however you like. It's my kind of breakfast, and they have it at Village Inn. Location we're at today, if you want to stop by and see Doug and ask a question before the top of the hour, is 4900 13th Avenue South in Fargo. We're brought to you in part today by the University of Mary. You know about the University of Mary's traditional degree programs, but did you also know they have specialized in education for working adults since 1959? At the University of Mary, you can combine your passion and experience with a master's or a doctorate program that positions you for a richer, fuller life. 16 master's programs to choose from: business, nursing, healthcare, healthcare administration, counseling, education, 3 doctoral programs in nursing practice, physical therapy and education. And because they offer one of the most affordable programs in the nation, you earn a degree of distinction without going broke. And they have courses taught in flexible, accelerated format at locations all throughout North Dakota. The University of Mary for Life. Classes start again on November 14th, January 9th, February 13th, March 20th. Find out more at umary.edu/master's degree, umary.edu/master's degree. Had a great conversation yesterday with Monsignor James Shea and Jerome Richter from the University of Mary for our UMary Mondays. Enjoy that very much as well. All right, without any further ado, we welcome to the program Doug Burgum, Republican candidate for governor. Hi, Doug, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you here at the Village Inn.
Thanks for joining us at a talk radio town hall location. Kind of fun to be out and about. We've done this before with Congressman Kramer and Senator Hovind. We thought we'd do it with you as well. It's just fun to see folks. Got a chance to meet the owner of Village Inn a moment ago. And
another great North Dakota entrepreneur.
Yeah, and a Southern. Yeah. I was mentioning earlier that I first met Abe in the early 80s up in Grand Forks, doing some promotions for him there and some advertising with a ground round. And since, he's probably done like 60 restaurants in North Dakota. So.
Yeah, and created thousands of jobs.
Yeah, pretty neat. And his number one headache, Obamacare right now.
Absolutely. That's what he shared this morning. It's a job killer.
Not alone. A lot of people, especially after the news that premiums could go up 25%. Phenomenal. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And of course,
we've always said there's nothing affordable about the Affordable Care Act, and it doesn't improve care. It was an unsound actuarially from the start, and now that's coming home to roost.
No kidding. I want to ask you about that, but I want to start because last time you were here, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about something you rolled out that folks are seeing as part of the campaign called the Main Street Initiative, and I want to give you a chance to talk about that and also welcome calls, questions, and comments on that or anything. We have a microphone here, too, and folks are welcome to step up to the microphone and ask their questions. What is the Main Street Initiative?
Well, at the highest level, we have to have North Dakota reach its fullest potential. We not only have to have great jobs, 21st century jobs, we got to have the people to fill them. Right now, there's about 15,000 jobs open in North Dakota across the state, and part of them not filled. Some of that has to do with how we do, lifetime training, how we do higher education, how we do that. But we also have to attract talent to move to North Dakota. We have to get, young people that have left to come back. We got to get families to move here. And to that day, we're competing with other states. We're competing with other places to live. So it's the city to city. The jobs wars about great cities and great communities. And so one of the things we said is, hey, if we want to reach our full potential, it's not just great jobs, great communities of all sizes. And so then if we say, well, what are the benefits in addition to recruiting a workforce? If you've got a vibrant downtown, what does that do for your community? Well, part of it is if you can reduce how you're spreading out your sure, if you get your infrastructure spread over many, many, many square miles, like we've done in a lot of our larger cities, it raises property taxes for everybody. And there, we have a lot of examples that we've shown where we can help reduce the tax burden by building more efficient communities and building our new growth where we've already got infrastructure as opposed to doing greenfield expansion on the edge. So that's just a fact. And then the third benefit is when you've got, you know, communities that are, you know, vibrant, more tax efficient, and attract that, when they have that, And you're mixing all the uses as opposed to the, you know, a single use residential here, industrial park there, retail there. Everyone's spending all their money driving around in cars. If you have mixed uses, you know, then people can start walking like we could in the communities in, you know, around America and in North Dakota in the 1950s. And when people walk more, their health costs go down. Because in the United States, we spend $4 trillion on healthcare. $1 trillion of that is spent on diseases, chronic diseases, diabetes, heart-related diseases. It's not about going to the gym. It's just us getting back to what humans are built to do, which is doing a little more walking, a little less driving, a little less building our cities so that we've got to park a foot from the door. You know, part of that's what's killing us. So again, walkable, mixed use, you know, vibrant downtowns and main streets, you know, that's what's going to help us be competitive as a state in the future.
Yet, for instance, when most communities build a school, you put it out on the edge of town, right? Why? Why do we do that? Is it to attract development around that and then have more tax base from homes? Why do we do that?
Well, I think part of it is you've got at least like we have in Fargo today, there's three different entities with three different governing boards with three different taxing. You got a school district, you got a park district, and you have a city. Each one of them acting sometimes in their own interest and if they were together, they may say, a school may say, hey, there's sheep land on the edge. A park district may go, there's sheep land on the edge. If they go out and build their thing on the edge with taxpayer dollars and the city has to chase it with infrastructure, then there's a huge cost to all of us. And we just have to rethink the pattern of development. This is not just North Dakota. This is the United States. I mean, part of the United States has been, since 1950s, you know, to the 1970s, we chased a pattern of development that was all about the American dream and suburbia. It was built into culture. And when we had the stagflation, you know, the Carter years and before Reagan came in and saved the day, you know, part of that was the end of the first phase of the American dream. But then we doubled down with debt, and then our city started piling on debt. You know, I was just looking the other day in the top 10 cities in North Dakota, we've now passed $2 billion of debt at the civic level. And what's that debt going to? That debt's going towards, you know, the thin expansion on the end. And that single-use housing on the edge is essentially being subsidized, hidden subsidies, because it doesn't produce enough tax revenue over time to pay for it and pay for the replacement cost.
But the grand vision of this in your eyes is that it is number one, more affordable community to live in, but also one that is more likely to attract people to fill these jobs.
Yeah, and then because the cost of any city and the cost of property taxes is driven by linear feet. When we put the school district out on the edge and we've got to run a sewer pipe and water and road out to it, the cost per linear foot drives it. But then we've also got to snowplow that road. Then we've got to police it. Then we got to build a new fire station. Then we have to build a new water tower. Then we have to build the arterial. And even with the high cost of specials like we have in this community, those specials don't cover 100% of the cost associated with that growth. That the additional cost is being covered by all the people in the older neighborhoods. You know, that's where the real burden is being put on the older homes, is because the older homes and the older neighborhoods are actually subsidizing the growth on the edge. And if we want the free market to work, we've got to stop subsidies, in these hidden subsidies, which are driving up the cost of running our cities.
Is part of this in our culture? In other words, we want to park at the door. We don't want to walk. We're not used to. Oh, I'll walk to the grocery store. No, I'm going to drive to the grocery store because I live in North Dakota and it's cold a lot, right? I mean, how much is a mindset change as to our culture?
Well, it is such a mindset that it's almost an entitlement. We were doing some analysis, again, just looking at Fargo, but I know it's the same for virtually every other city in America, and so it'll be the same for other cities in North Dakota. But there's about 11 parking spots for every adult in Fargo. And you're like, how is that possible? I mean, we talk about Americans having a love affair with cars. We have even more of a love affair with parking. And because if we want to park, you know, free at church, we want to park free at the grocery store, we want to park free at the restaurant, we want to park free at the gym, we want to park free when we go to our kids' school event, we want to park free at the mall, we want to park free downtown, we want to park free everywhere. And you add all those parking uses up, you want to park free on the street. Street parking is a subsidy that all taxpayers are also paying for, because that's built into the cost. The street's got to be plowed and maintained. And so in America, the surface, off-street surface parking in America now exceeds Connecticut, the state of Connecticut. And so we've and the value of the parking in America, off-street parking, is the value of that is more than all the cars in America added up. We have more invested as a nation in parking than we have in our love of automobiles. Because, you know, so those two things go together, and then you say, well, how is that going to change? You know, how does that change in the future when you've got, when you have Uber? You know, how does cities change when we don't need the third car in the family or the second car, because there'll be shared transportation methodologies available to us because we've all got smartphones. You know, that changes the way thing. And the most expensive part about building cities is the accommodations that we require people to have for parking. So in the next 10 and 20 years, the world, we talk about a changing economy. Part of the reason the way the world is changing, it's changing because of the sharing economy. I mean, you take a look at Airbnb as a hotel chain. They have more rooms and all the hotels put together, and they don't own a hotel room. You know, the most highest market cap transportation company in the world is Uber, worth more than GM. They don't own a car. I mean, this is where the world is going, because technology changes the assumptions that we have to think about, and we have to change the way we build and design our cities if we want to attract the 21st century workforce and keep our property taxes down.
More with Doug Burgum. Your calls, questions, comments, welcome on a Talk Radio Town Hall Day today. 800-228-0550. After a short timeout, don't go away.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
This Soybean Minute is about Palmer Amaranth, the most pervasive weed that growers have ever seen. In addition to this weed producing 1 million seeds per plant, reducing crop yields by 90%, it is also resistant to glyphosate and most row crop herbicides. Iowa wheat scientists documented Palmer Amaranth expanding from 5 to 30 counties this summer. How did this happen? Primarily from mail order seed. Some commercial seed mixtures used in CRP, cover crops, pollinator plots, and hunter habitats were contaminated with Palmer Amaranth seed. These multi-plant seed sources disseminated Palmer Amaranth throughout Iowa. Landowners, inspect your new environmental plantings, bag and remove any deviant pigweed plants. Contact your Extension County agent or NDSU for correct ID. Help keep North Dakota Palmer Amaranth free.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
When a challenge comes along, some people turn away. At the University of Mary, we turn up our sleeves. Always have. The challenge today is finding a quality education that's affordable. And we are. At the University of Mary, you'll get an education as affordable as UND and NDSU. Value for your money, values for your life. That's the Mary difference.
Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington is your source for the outstanding Shivers Performance System. Shivers revolutionary CompuDry Command Center is a fully automatic computerized control offering you precision, control, efficiency, and capacity, assuring your grain is dried to your exact specifications. Minimize your drying costs and maximize your profits. Let Shivers handle your grain. Check out your Shivers system today at grainstuff.com or call 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction, your source for Shivers Performance System.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
What's on your mind is brought to you by our friends at High Plains Apache. Great time right now to make sure that the sprayer is in tip-top shape. And if you have an Apache sprayer or any brand sprayer, they have an ET Ag Center. 50,000 parts, everything in the application world that you could possibly need on any brand they have at High Plains Apache. So just remember that. And if you're looking for maybe an upgrade, they have some new ones, some used ones as well. Go to highplainsapache.com, highplainsapache.com, or stop and see them across from Bonanza in Mandan, exit 60 south of Fargo and Frontier. Back with more of the Talk Radio Town Hall. And we have one gentleman's got a question. Come up to that microphone there. We'll get to you in just a moment. And as well, we have Tim and Bismarck, Andrew and Dickinson, and Joe out in the field.
Good to see you.
Waiting to weigh in as well. Let's go to you first, Joe. You've been waiting a while. Your question or comment for Doug?
Yeah, Scott, am I on?
You are, Joe. Go ahead. You're out in the field. You're working?
Well, yeah. The crops have been just ripping the last field of corn stalks. They, Scott, did you watch the PBS special? I'm going to say it was a couple years ago, and it was on the metros. It was focusing on New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the question they presented. This is PBS. This is not me. They said, "Are we getting dumber?" Did you see that?
I don't recall that, no. What was the context of the question, are we getting dumber in the metros, though?
Well, the context is people are becoming less self-reliant. Keep in mind, though, I'm not calling. What I want to correlate, though, is, and I very rarely watch PBS, but I happened to see this, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And if you looked at a map of where he says the IQs are getting lower, and I'm now, keep in mind, I'm just the messenger. I'm not the, but it correlates with the Democrat voting areas. I kid you not. It was on PBS, and the fellow that did this program, he was asking the question, "Are we getting dumber?" And I've got Democrat friends. They're not dumb. They're decent people. But I really wondered if you'd seen this, and if you did an overlay of a map, it lined up just exactly with the Democrats and how this always goes in these elections.
Interesting, Joe. No, hadn't seen that, but I'll see what I can dig up and try and find it. Sounds interesting. I thought you were tying it into what we were talking about with Doug, rather than the voting pattern of those folks, but just on in the metro areas. I would say in general, some of those communities you mentioned, I can't imagine an existence like that compared to what we enjoy in the great state of North Dakota. But appreciate the call and interesting theory. Before we go to our guest here that has a question for you, Doug, I wanted to ask you just one follow-up on the Main Street initiative that we were talking about before the break. You know, does something like that pertain to a small town, an Arthur, a Watford City, a Mayville?
Yes, well, absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why my running mate and I rolled it out, Mayor Brent Sanford, because he's done some great things in Watford City in terms of smart growth, in terms of infrastructure. And it's not just sewer and water, but we've got to make sure we've got the high-speed internet to, you know, attract and retain the jobs and the companies that want to invest capital here. But as, you know, we've traveled around, you know, I've been to every town, over 1,000, a lot of them under smaller than that. And there's a couple things you notice. In the towns when you come in, when the main street's vibrant, you know, the people are positive, the town feels like it has a future. You get in the town, the main street's dead. Everybody's sitting around, hey, we can't, you know, another store closed, we can't attract young people here. So it seemed to me there's just an obvious correlation between, you know, having a gathering place, a community, a point of interaction around that walkable main street, even if it's only a block on each side of the street. That's a difference maker. You know, I'm in Cavalier last week or 2 weeks ago, and, you know, and they had a, you know, restaurant closing there because they couldn't find enough staff to keep it going. It had been open for decades, you know, a great thing. And I asked up and down Main Street, you know, about the other business. They said there's five or six businesses in Cavalier that could close in the next 5 years when the business owners retire. So part of us is thinking through, how do we do succession planning? How do we track young people back here to keep these towns vibrant? And some of it has to do also with historic renovation. When you're in towns like, you know, Oaks, you know, with their Opera House or other communities where a community has come together and saved a historic building, they've got a ton of pride. In a community where they've lost a historic building, everyone's grieving from the loss. So part of this is local leadership, getting people people empowered, rebuilding their communities. And there's some basic block and tackling things that don't even require state dollars. Sometimes it just requires an understanding about, you know, how do you build a healthy, vibrant Main Street? And those are things we want to bring to all communities in the state, because we need to be vibrant all over. Every community, all our communities have to be able to attract and retain young people.
Question from Bismarck and Dickinson coming up here in a moment, and one at our Talk Radio Town Hall on location at the Village Inn. Yes, sir. You go ahead for Doug.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking me this morning. First, I want to give a shameless plug and say thank you for supporting our candidates out in 24th District, which is Dan Johnston, Dwight Kieford, and Eldred Knudsen. My question is, has to do with the North Dakota, the Educational Land Trust Fund. Do you see any change in the approach to how they're investing that money? Because most of it is invested out of state and in institutions that are at risk in a down market, where we could lose a significant amount of that. Also, I don't know if it's state charter or not, but they do not use any of that money for building any of the schools. They don't hardly invest any of that money back into the state. Do you see any change in that? And it's quite significant. So for in excess of $4 billion.
Well, first of all, thanks for driving over from District 24, and happy to be out supporting Republican legislative candidates who've been doing that all over the state, and appreciate that comment very much. Yeah, I'm looking forward. One of the roles of the governor is to sit on the land board, so I'll be one of five votes on that board. And I do think that the question you're asking is something that needs to be asked. There's a debate from a governance standpoint about, you know, what constitutes, quote, fiduciary responsibility and how those dollars should be invested. But I think it's a reasonable question to ask when we're investing that money out of state, paying, you know, high fees to have Wall Street advisors invested, and then our very own schools, which that's supposed to benefit our schools, our very own schools sometimes are borrowing money from out-of-state firms and paying a higher interest rate on their bonds than what we're earning on the money that we're investing out of state. So you can call it an arbitrage, if you want to call it, but it seems like we could actually make money for the state. And what's a more secure investment, investing in a school building in North Dakota or a school district, or investing on stock on Wall Street? I mean, I think that this part of this is we got to rethink what fiduciary responsibility means, and I think we can have a healthy debate about it.
I think they've only been averaging about a 1.4% return on that, and that's in an up economy.
Yes.
So the Wall Street is roaring ahead. It's only getting 1.4% on its return. And looking at the financials, I know for the year of 2014, September of until September 2015, a large chunk of money out of that trust fund was used to balance the budget, if you look at where it was spent at the state level.
Interesting point. Thank you. Glad you raised it. And others welcome here at 800-228-0550. Let's get the question in. Might not have time for the answer, but Tim Bismarck, go ahead for Doug Burgum.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are, Tim. What's your question?
The question I have is on a vibrant downtown and bringing jobs back to the state with a vibrant Main Street. The only issue I have is the tax incentives that we give these guys, their investors that come into our downtowns with the TIF funds and the Renaissance Zone. And I don't see a long-term benefit as a property taxpayer, because we end up taking that burden, and which affects the schools, the city, the law enforcement, with these TIF funds, with these Renaissance Zones, as a real estate tax. I don't see a benefit giving these tax incentives to build a vibrant downtown.
All right, Tim, thanks for the question. Doug's answer on the other side of the break. We're live at Village Inn, 13th Avenue, South Fargo, for another half hour. Talk Radio Town Hall continues after this on What's on Your Mind.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. The New York Times has placed the Theodore Roosevelt National Park number 5 on its list of the top 52 places to visit in 2016. With miles of rugged badlands and rolling grasslands dotted with wildlife, the north unit of the park sits just 12 miles south of Watford City, a small town getaway with big city amenities. The gateway to internationally acclaimed adventure, Watford City residents have enjoyed the natural beauty of the area for centuries. And now, with over 700 available hotel rooms, a variety of cabins and campgrounds, 25 restaurants, unique shopping, and newly built, construction-free highways to get you there, you can plan a visit that's as rugged or as relaxing as you like. Because the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota's playground right in your backyard. And Watford City wants to help you experience what has the nation inspired. Because the Badlands are just the beginning of the adventure. Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. Come see for yourself.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
Today by PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better by connecting North Dakota's corn fields with North Dakota's oil fields. PetroServe USA, great place to get a bite to eat, too, by the way. The 4-for-4 deal is one of my favorites. Hot Stuff Personal Pan Pizza. 2 cookies of your choice in a 20-ounce drink. 4 items, $4 all day, every day. And lots of Bisonware at all their locations. Also, $50,000 giveaways underway, and they draw new names every week. So you got to go in each week to register to be in the drawings for the PetroServe USA gift cards. Back with more with our guest, Doug Burgum. It's a Talk Radio Town Hall. We're on location today. Any other questions from the audience? That Levi guy, I know he's got lots of questions. I know him. Step up to that microphone right there and ask your questions. You're happy to do it, or give us a call on the phone. 800-228-0550 is our toll-free telephone number. 701-226-8503 is a text line. You can text in your questions, too. So question from the caller from Bismarck, Tim, said, hey, love what you're talking about, but these TIFs, these Renaissance zones, they cost us too much money.
Well, what do you say? Well, I say the answer is always in the data. And if you take a look at the performance of the Renaissance Zone legislation, which was passed by the legislature 15 years ago, there's 55 Renaissance Zones in cities across North Dakota, thousands of Renaissance Zone projects. It's got a high return on investment. There's a short-term incentive to get people to invest where the infrastructure already exists, and then they add, private capital comes in. When it comes off, the tax dollars go up. I mean, just take a look at the Renaissance Zone downtown Fargo. Even during a time when we've lowered property taxes from a rate of about 2.4% down to 1.2%. So we've cut property tax rates in half. The Renaissance Zone in downtown Fargo has doubled from $4 million to $8 million the taxes it's producing. So, it's actually lowering the tax burden. Renaissance Zones, when they're working and done right, actually lower the tax burden for the average taxpayer, not increase it. Exactly opposite what the conventional wisdom is.
To me, the whole key of that thing is two words, but for. And that's what never seems to enter the debate, and it's hard to put a data on it and really know, right? But the question is, how much of that development, how much of those dollars on the tax rolls generating in every community where it's been used would not be there but for these incentives, right? And that's where you get at the root of determining whether it makes sense or not, right?
Right.
And is it your belief that, downtown Fargo as it exists today, or Watford City with, what the First International folks did, the Stenson family did down there to spark what is there, or, Jamestown or any other place that's used Renaissance Zone without these funds, they wouldn't exist to the degree they exist today and generate those kind of dollars for property taxes.
Yes, and so I think the return on investment on those incentives has been high. But let's understand, that's not the only incentive going on when you're building a city. If the city without a vote, without a review, without an assessment, without without some initials on an incentive program, drops a new road in on the edge, that will spur development too. But that development is not sustainable and often doesn't produce the same kind of return as incenting people to go where we already have infrastructure.
They both cost.
And one of them we're using existing infrastructure and getting a high return, and one of them we're building new infrastructure and getting a low return.
And we really don't call that an incentive.
We don't call it an incentive, but it is. It's a huge incentive. It's a subsidy. And so what I'm looking for, with every tax dollar for the people in North Dakota, just the way I did in the private sector, I want to invest at the lowest risk for the highest return. That's why I've been successful in my life. Low risk, high return. And the same thing goes when you're spending property tax dollars. Low risk, high return. And to do that, we have to change our thinking about the pattern of development. And so we can actually, again, as you say, treat taxpayers like customers. And part of that is really looking at the investments we make. It's not just more infrastructure is good. Where we put the infrastructure matters. And if we can build things more efficiently, we're going to have lower property taxes.
Andrew in Dickinson for Doug Burgum, Republican candidate for governor. Go ahead.
Hi there. I've got a question for Mr. Burgum, but as we've been listening, I had to make a comment on the Main Street Initiative topic. I work for an engineering firm. We do a lot of work in Washington City, and I just have to say that the infrastructure and the building and the development that's going on up there is pretty amazing, and what they've been able to manage. And I think that the mayor there did a great job. Now, my question is a little bit different topic. I've lived in Dickinson for the last 5 years. I'm from Montana originally. An issue that's very important to me is public lands. Now, I know that there's a push by some states to transfer some federal lands to state ownership. From what I've read and heard is that some states, they can't manage these lands in a way that's sustainable. They end up having to sell or auction these lands, and then they therefore become privately owned. I know North Dakota, we don't have a lot of public lands, but it's important to me, and I know a lot of other people, that those lands stay that way. And I just was wondering, Mr. Burgum, what's your stance on that, and what's your thoughts, and could you just educate us all a little bit on that topic? Thank you.
Well, I understand the need for good management of public lands, for sure. And as a hunter and someone in the public, I understand that, access to public lands is part of what's great about being in America, certainly in the western half of the state. But, right now, I wouldn't make a bet that the federal government could manage something better in the state. Federal government, at least in our country, is, printing money to cover its $21 trillion debt. And for all the challenges we have in North Dakota with our revenue shortfall, we've still got a better balance sheet than the federal government does. So if that comes up on a case-by-case basis, you don't want to, the state shouldn't take on responsibilities they can't financially afford. But I would say there's always room for improvement in how the federal government's managing its resources.
Andrew, answer your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
And since he's talking about Watford City and the great job they've done up there, it's great he's got hands-on experience. But again, this is my running mate, Mayor Brent Sanford. One of the reasons I picked, Brent as a running mate is someone who understands local property taxes, understands, how do you do an efficient pattern of development? How do you reduce the risk that the city's taking with taxpayer dollars and making sure that, if the developers are going to get the return, the developers take the risk. And so, and again, when you get someone who's a CPA, got a background, understands numbers, balance sheets, understands government, perfect running mate, given what we're facing on the huge revenue shortfall that we're facing in the state, this guy's going to be a fantastic partner. And as I like to tell people how open-minded I am, with me as an NDSU grad, I've got a running mate that graduated from UND. I mean, come on. I mean, how much more
inclusive
can you be
can
than
you
that?
Be,
that's
huh?
incredible.
Wanda in Moorhead, question for Doug Burgum. Go ahead.
Yes, and I'd like to send compliments from Dickinson State University, too. My name is Wanda. About 10 years ago, Doug, at a theater event where my youngest son and your daughter were performing, I told you that your old teacher would come out of the woodwork about 10 years later. And I just want you to know that your mom and your dad and your brother would be very proud of you for stepping up to watch over the people that they have cared for. I'm from that southwestern part of North Dakota. Lots and lots of relatives. My mom was one of 10. And I guess we have dinosaurs down in Slope and Bowman County. And just bringing it to mind, and again, real proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Juana, and generous of you to remember both of my mom, Catherine Kilborn Burgum, and my dad, Joey Burgum, and my brother, Brad Burgum from Castleton, who's passed away 6 years ago, but they named the Community Service Award after him. Incredible role models, all three of them. So miss them, and great of you to remember them and keep their memories alive.
Thank you, Juana. Appreciate the call. Here's a text question. Does Doug support the Convention of States project or some other Article 5 project in order to rein in federal overreach and return power to the state?
I think this is a great idea to have this on the table. I think it's great that states are talking about it, because if you look at, you know, the Constitution, federal authority was supposed to be few and enumerated. States were delegated all the rest of the authority, and then you take a look at what's happening right now. Don't look no further than the EPA, where you've got administrative agencies under the Obama administration that are effectively becoming rulemaking organizations as opposed to the legislature making that rules. And, you know, federal overreach isn't just it's not some campaign buzzword. I mean, this is an issue that faces, you know, every farmer, every industry, certainly, you know, energy, coal in North Dakota. I mean, it has a direct impact on us. And one thing that encourages me about the future of America is Republican governors, and we've got, you know, just crossed over 30. If we can keep chalking up more Republican governors and get to a point where we've got 30, 37 Republican governors, maybe this thing could become a reality and we could actually, rein in the federal government once or for all. At a time when the world's changing rapidly, which it is right now, I mean, we've never been in a point in time in humanity where we've had more rapid technological change. In the private sector, when you're running a company with tens of thousands of people and there's rapid change, you want to decentralize decision-making out to the front line so people can respond quickly. What are we doing as a country at a time of most rapid change? We have an administration and a party that's trying to pull all the central decision making down to Washington, D.C., and there's just no chance that we can keep up with the way the change is if we're trying to centralize management. I mean, healthcare, $4 trillion. You know, in America, that's twice the size of the entire economy of the Soviet Union when it collapsed in 1989, when change was much less rapid. We can't be trying to centrally manage industries like healthcare. We can't centrally manage this country. We've got to push decision-making out to the states, and states should push it out to the local entities.
Our question from our Talk Radio Town Hall audience here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Doug, I just wanted to thank you for taking this race seriously. And, you know, as the dad of a seven-year-old girl, every day I get up, I go out to try to make this state better, and hopefully that my peers want to make this country better for leaving it for that age group. In North Dakota, I watch how we pass bills and how we address things, and you as a tech guy, in technological advances, I guess, is what I'm getting at, in production agriculture. Yesterday, we did things differently than we're doing today, but we're still basing our laws and regulations off of outdated material, and sometimes that material gets to the desk, and by the time it's ready for a vote, it's already outdated. And things like precision spraying, just to use an example, agriculture is the backbone of North Dakota, as you've said, and I don't want people to forget that, you know, we need to eat before we get into the car. And I'm just curious on your vision for the next 4, 8, 10, 20 years on technology and with this is rapidly changing as it is, how we can keep up in the legal system so we're not just making rules based off of old information.
Well, Levi, great question, and you're raising a great issue, and I think, of course, listeners probably know, growing up in Arthur, North Dakota, where my grandfather founded the grain elevator. I worked there, through high school, through college, worked on the family farm, got all my buddies from high school that are still farming out there. I guess we're coming back to this. I hear the music, Scott.
We are
back to ag when we come back after the break.
Hold that thought. We'll get the rest of the answer to Levi's question. Welcome others as well at 800-228-0550. Final segment of our Talk Radio Town Hall. A couple of calls from Bismarck holding on. We'll get to you as well. Stay tuned. More of this after a break.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
The Safety Minute brought to you by the North Dakota Safety Council, sponsored in part by Workforce Safety and Insurance. This week's Safety Minute features NDSC First Aid Coordinator Shelley Dahl explaining what an AED is and the difference between cardiac arrest and a heart attack.
Definitely two different things. If a heart attack, I look at that as a plumbing issue. There's blockage somewhere, and an AED really isn't going to do anything until the end stages of that particular event. A cardiac arrest is when the electrical, so I say it's an electrical versus a plumbing issue.
Shelley, what is an AED?
An AED is an automated external defibrillator, and what it does is it actually delivers a shock to the heart. When someone is in cardiac arrest, the rhythm or the electrical in the heart kind of goes kittywampus. And so what that AED does is it brings that heart back to a normal rhythm.
To get trained on CPR and an AED, visit www.ndsc.org and click on the first aid icon. That's www.ndsc.org.
An update from Polar Service Center. They're looking for a service manager to run their Williston location. The applicant must have at least 3 years' experience, tank and management experience. Call Gary Myers now at Polar Service Center, 701-495-3592. They're also looking for experienced parts counter specialists at both their Killdeer and Williston, North Dakota locations. Polar Service Center offers competitive pay, great medical benefits, including 401k with match. To apply, call Gary at 701-495-3592. 701-495-3592.
North Dakota's home for Chevy is Pucklett Chevrolet Buick GMC, now in Valley City, just off I-94. A legendary name in western North Dakota is now a statewide market leader. The trucks you need on the job and on the farm, the cars you love for style and sophistication, and now open their brand new $6 million showroom in Valley City. Get a free car wash with every service appointment at Pucklett Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bismarck and now in Valley City at 721 West Main, or shop online at PucklettChevrolet.com or PucklettValleyCity.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of a belly flattening breakthrough Nubiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Back on the Talk Radio Town Hall, we are at Village Inn, 13th Avenue, South Fargo. Final segment with Doug. Don't forget Village Inn, great place for pie, America's best pies. They really are. And for the holidays coming up, perfect way to make the entertaining that much easier, picking up some of those pies. And if you don't believe me, you can come in and have a little sample of pie today before we're done here. And also, you can come in any Wednesday and have free pie. Free pie Wednesdays. So remember that tomorrow. All right, Doug. So your answer to Levi's question on his concern on the some of the
well, he was asking about technology and agriculture, and I think we're blessed in North Dakota. Not only have some of the best land in the world, we've got some of the best farmers in the world. And the when I look at my classmates that are still farming out there around Arthur Hunter. You know, these guys are super sophisticated in what they're doing. I mean, you know, you talk to somebody sometimes in Fargo or Bismarck about, hey, we're going to have an autonomous vehicle, and they go, oh, you're talking jets and stuff. That'll never happen. You go talk to these guys that are farming. They've already got autonomous-driven vehicles because the tractors are driving in the field. They're driving themselves. You talk about stuff that we're doing with UAVs. You know, that's, you know, happening in agriculture. You talk about, you know, when in our business investing in companies that I launched 8 years ago with my nephew James Burgum, you know, we've taken a look at a number of ag companies, and one of the companies we were looking at when I was a kid, we wanted to get a sample at the elevator for you know, soil sample. We take one sample for 160 acres, you know, drive it into the soil lab at NDSU, and we might get an answer back 2-3 weeks later, and they'd come up with a fertilizer recommendation for 160 acres. Now there are people working on solutions where it is taking the soil sample as the tractor's driving over the field, one sample per meter, per square meter. Well, if you have that kind of data that you can generate automatically collected while you're farming, well, then you can become much more precise. We can be in a position where we don't over-fertilize. That helps the water quality. I mean, the automatically collecting data is driving new solutions and new ideas which make it better for the environment, better for the agriculture, and we're just fortunate that we've got such well-educated and talented farmers in the state that are able to adopt all this stuff.
Got your answer there, Levi. Thank you, sir. Dennis Bismarck for Doug Burgum. Go ahead. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I had a question for Doug. I'm sort of new to all this. You know, I'm 25. I live in Mandan. And with the protests and everything going on down south, and you guys were talking about property taxes. Now, a lot of those farmers down there, they're paying property taxes, and I feel like their rights are being trampled on and or forgotten about. And a lot of the other candidates that I've heard answers from, they've said they've touched on how it needs to be resolved, and I agree. I know law enforcement's doing their best job, and I know it's a complex situation, but what do you think should be done for the people that are affected by this personally?
Well, I think you gave a good description of the situation that's going on, because not only are, you know, people's rights being trampled on, we got people's property that are being trampled on right now too as well. And I think I want to be in a position to respect the authorities that are in charge right now, because at least, you know, to date, we've managed to get through a very tense situation. Kudos to go out to law enforcement and all the work that they're doing, to make sure that they're, you know, maintaining as peaceful a situation as they can. But, you know, we have to, you know, stay behind our elected officials right now. I'm still a candidate for another 2 weeks. And then after that, governor-elect, and this situation's changing day by day, and this is not the time for Monday morning quarterbacking. This is the time for, you know, supporting our leaders. But I would say that, obviously, you know, with dialogue, I mean, one of the great things about America is that, you know, people can have their Second Amendment rights to free speech, but one of the other pillars of America is private property, and we have the collision of those two things happening right now, and that's got to be resolved, you know, through dialogue and through communication as well as in the courts. But if we have to be a country that builds infrastructure. If we don't build infrastructure and we don't create jobs, then America fails. And so we have to be respectful of how we're building it, where we're building all that infrastructure, but, you know, understand the infrastructure like that, like the pipeline we're talking about, benefits every single North Dakotan, because every program that the state pays for, you know, will benefit when we've got a healthier industry, and that's certainly something that's going to help North Dakota be more competitive.
Dan, I appreciate the call. Another call from Bismarck waiting, and a gentleman here that has a question. We have about 90 seconds left, so let's just go as quickly as we can here. Your question, sir?
Okay, the state legislature has identified solutions to the property tax problem. What's your long-term solution to property tax problem? We pay too much property tax. How can we avoid that problem?
Well, I think that to lower property taxes, you got to get at the underlying costs. And property taxes goes towards schools, it goes towards city infrastructure, and those types of things. And so if we have to build more efficient K-12, and we got to build more efficient cities. That's the way we get property taxes to go down, and we can do that. I mean, we have school systems, we have school buildings that sit empty for 3-4 months a year. We've got city infrastructure that's spread out so thinly that the people paying the property taxes don't cover the cost of maintenance. You know, we can build better education and better cities and lower property taxes, but we got to start now. We can't keep going in the trajectory we've been going the last 50 years.
All right, that last caller is gone, so I'll just ask you quickly a question I promised I would ask earlier about Obamacare. And new report out, premiums are going to go up 25%. Obviously, it's a pain point for a lot of North Dakotans. Only half a minute for an answer, but is there a North Dakota firewall where you can prevent against what's happening on the national level in that regard?
Well, the only thing that I see is somehow, some way you could end up with a, instead of the federal government mandating that all North Dakotans participate in uneconomic programs, give us a block grant, let us figure out how to spend the money and see if, 750,000 North Dakotans can figure out a better way than a plan that was, a plan that really was driven by socialism that doesn't work.
Could be the first proposal from a Governor Burgum to a President Trump.
Yes.
Right? Let us try this. We got this. And we'll show you how it's done. And then you can use it in other states, maybe. A little pilot project, right?
Yes. Yep.
I like that. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here. And now do we get to eat some pie after?
You do. Exactly right. Yeah. Free pie. Here you go, folks, at Village Inn. And don't forget, if you didn't make it today, Free Pie Wednesday. And a great place for holiday pies, too. Doug Burgum, thanks. See you from Watford City tomorrow, folks. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Norway with a professional. My name is Carol Juven. I have been in Norway 153 times and had over 47,000 people on tour. Come and join me on the official Norskfest Norway tour, May 29th through June 11th. See Norway at its very best. The fjords, the waterfalls, the spectacular mountains. Visit Minot's sister city of Skien. Meet and greet Bjørn Holland. We don't just tour Norway, we meet the people. Phone me at 1-800-343-0093. That again is 1-800-343-0093. Sign up by December 15th. Space is limited. Welcome along.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food stores are left to eat. Yum!
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.